Freaksville and Les Editions du Caïd present Headhand, a fiction written by Benjamin Scuse and Raphael Dethier, adapted into English by Claire Wilcock, recorded and produced by Benjamin Scuse. Featuring the voices of Phil MFU, Claire Wilcock, Brian Carney, Richard Brett, Madeline Bodeau, Laetitia Sadier, Bertrand Bergelet, Chris Cummings, Takuya 37, and Vincent Tavier. And let the adventure begin with a prologue told by Satan himself.
I held out my hand, but nobody took it. A dizzying fall, an endless drop into the darkness. The silence drenched in black light. My soul's sacrifice will soon come to an end. The moon howls, its screams blending with the piercing chants which slowly cry out to me. My path is mapped out. My children call out to me in muted delight. Sacrifices, mutilation, the discerning audience of the clapped out bando, singing for me, for my damned souls. I exit this cosmic tunnel, tirelessly drawn out. I sense your hearts and hear your questions. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? What do I know? Why should I give a damn? I just want to get out of this cosmic egg that once emerged from a chicken. Let me out of here.
Ow! Oh, 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 ow!
Here I am, the devil incarnate, ready to complete my mission. It's my very last chance. Failure is out of the question. So carry on singing, my subjects. I am the egg from hell, the personification of evil. Satan in his reincarnate shell. I am the king of darkness, master of flies. Goddamn driver on his way to my majestic destiny. This guy drives like a thug. He makes me feel queasy, the moron. At long last, the palace, and on the 21st of July as planned. So now, everything is going to plan. Soon, I'll be out of this ludicrous shell. I'll spread my slimy substance, my jet black albumen. I'll slowly evaporate, leaving behind just my murky essence. So greedily devour me, into the very depths of your body, straight into your soul. Your head explodes and finally frees me. I have just one obsession. Just one single path to take. To invade the body of King Baduan. My mission can begin. I'm headed for the National TV channel for the 21st of July speech. This is where everything will happen. My career. My life.
Chapter 1. Phil.
For 10 years, I've been wasting my life here in this rotten town. On a road to nowhere in my phony college. It could all be bearable if my body stopped continuously itching. It's insufferable. And I've tried everything. It's no use. But I mustn't grumble. It's not as bad as all that. Like this flamboyant building where I work, built on archaeological ruins, like the whole town in ruins, just like my life. What woman would be attracted to a man who's constantly scratching? And it's just the same at work, this feeling of being transparent. It's a good thing I have Damo. He's great. I really like him. We meet up at the darts club every Thursday. And then there's Bertrand, too. A friendly and brilliant guy. A meteorologist and graphologist. And that's my office. Yeah. I need to get out of here. If only I had the strength. At last, it's time for my appointment with my new dermatologist. Please let it work this time. Some cream, some pills, a suppository, whatever. Or let them remove my skin. I hate hospitals. They say that skin diseases are psychosomatic. It could all be bearable if my body stopped continuously itching. It's insufferable. And I've tried everything. It's no use. And it's just the same at work, this feeling of being transparent. Do you think it's psychosomatic for that biker with his bubonic tattoo? This doctor is not very pleasant. He just says, all the time.
My medical knowledge only goes as far as the epidermis. It's a very specific case that requires, a slightly unorthodox surgical procedure. The guy's a recluse with powerful abilities. He can work miracles. Or maybe not. It'll cost $200.
Chapter 2. The Hermit.
A sudden change in conditions with storms, violent winds, and hailstones is forecast. What better way to get us through this than the gentle atmosphere of electric storm?
$200. Fucking rip-off merchant. Okay, 1 Pinwood Street. We've arrived. Hey, is anybody there? Mr. Recluse, are you there? I'm here about my eczema. Well, I mean the doctor. My skin is as soft as a baby's bottom. The itching has completely stopped. I'm free. I slowly woke up in the middle of the forest, feeling calm. A strange book made of unidentified stones lay in my hands. Its text appeared to be written by another civilization. I was so disturbed that I almost forgot that I had arranged to go to the darts club to meet the one person who could shed some light on things. My friend, Damo, the Master.
Chapter 3. Damo's Journey.
Damo, I'd like to show you something.
I am aware of this book.
It's complicated. I'll explain.
May I ask where you discovered it? I have encountered it previously. It is a rather old tale, however. That was my initial undertaking in outer space when I was 24 years old. I was an inexperienced youngster who had a tendency to get sidetracked by different things. The experience of being in space was quite romantic. I even brought along a book authored by Proust. The time that was lost in zero gravity was extremely intense. It was a challenging mission. I embarked on an expedition to explore the treacherous planet, Pluto, as you are well aware of its dangers. It was dangerous because it was surrounded by a huge black hole. It was as if it had completely separated from the body and returned to particles. I seized the night like a shooting star. And how did everything transpire slowly and unfold in a gradual manner? I reached this stunning hill. I was eagerly anticipating the breathtaking view of the magnificent sea. It was a world I had never witnessed before. And I witnessed something peculiar. There was an absence of anything surrounding me. There was a filthy bird statue protecting this entrance. However, I was not scared. Entering inside, it felt strange. And the monotonous melody pulled me up to the fourth floor. It is a junk shop in the galaxy system. It was full of unfamiliar things. And so, it was placed on the shelf. That book, your book.
Everything is so strange, just like the weather. Damo is right. All this is connected. And if anyone could decipher this goddamn book, Bertrand is our man. There's no time to lose. He lives far away from humanity.
Chapter 4, The Book and the Dwarf.
Good evening, Karen.
I'll drive you to the office. It's not often we see you, Phil. Must be important.
I don't know.
Good evening, my friend. I got your message. I must say that you've piqued my curiosity. So, where is it? These encrusted stones are the first clue. Let's see what treasure it holds. I'm not familiar with this language. These symbols seem to be from somewhere else. Nothing gets past the crypto decoder that I developed. Let's see. Interesting. The analysis is underway. I think soon we'll... There we go. All these years spent entering data behind the screen have paid off. There is a name of who you need to track down. I've always known that technology will save the human race. Time for me to leave you. My climatologic expertise is needed. These phenomena keep on coming. I feel like all this is connected. Karen will help you with the procedure. See you soon, my friend.
All that's left to do is find the right Tavier in the directory. Hello, I'm looking for Vincent Tavier. His name popped up in my research.
His name? I'd almost forgotten about him. Come here, Philip, so I can put an end to this sorry business.
Chapter 5, The Sublimation. The Tavier House has become a New Age landmark. From here, you can hear the rhapsodic, monotonous chanting of poor lost causes looking for direction, hanging on their guru's every word. Letitia Tavier graciously brings the session to an end, communicating her final loving words to her loyal followers as they leave, filled with a deluded sense of joy. So much wisdom chills Karen's blood, and her face turns gloomy.
Thanks for devoting us some of your precious time, Miss Tavier. And during my university research, your father's name popped up several times, and I wanted to know...
My father, the hero,
who abandoned his family without a second thought and broke his wife's heart when she learned of his multiple lives and marriages all over the world, that scumbag also destroyed her life and mine and my brother's too. I never set foot in his office again or opened his boxes, but if you feel like doing so, maybe you'll find something relevant to your work.
An old VHS tape catches Phil's eye. As he looks on flabbergasted, a subtitled image of the book flashes up. On seeing these images, Letitia seems to lose all sense of reality and refuses to watch any more. She has just one wish: to rid herself of this abhorrent human being. Leaving the room to embark upon an ancestral shamanic ritual, she hits her tambourine harder and harder, chanting incomprehensibly to the ordinary mortals. Her body slowly fades away, gradually making way for another illuminating being as she vanishes. This is all too much for Karen, who can't hide her satanic nature for much longer. Appealing to the master, she asks him to give her the strength to exterminate this repulsive divine creature.
Die, bitch!
An explosion rings out and a gun squirts a jet of holy water. Laughing hysterically, Karen is baying for blood.
What the fuck is going on here?
Confused between Karen revealing her satanic side and a small translucent Tinkerbell dancing around his head, Phil's mind flickers. The deep voice of the recluse brings him back to the land of the living.
Follow me if you want to stay alive. Let's burn down this haunted house.
Chapter 6, The Plan. My dear council members, I thank you all for your cosmic presence at our Plutinus 91 seminar. As outlined in our Good Governance Charter, let me remind you that your presence here will be rewarded with an extra bonus, which will be added proportionately to your attendance tokens, as agreed with the stakeholders. Now I'll hand you over to the president. Unless you have any questions.
Yes. I don't understand why travel expenses are calculated like this. Personally, my system is a far cry away from what other administrators use. It doesn't seem right to me, and raises questions.
Faithman, my dear sir, if I'm not mistaken, at the bottom of the minutes from our meeting on the 3rd of March, I see that you've signed off on this decision. So if you've nothing better to say, it's time to hear from the president.
It's scandalous. It's a disgrace.
Yes, thank you, Faithman. May we begin?
Damn right. You've had your vote for Thor. I have other things to do. I'm expected on Mars at 9 p.m.
Well said, Axiotl. Let's start this seminar with the agenda as proposed and supported by our Earthling associate, Mr. Tavier. The invasion of Earth. No objections this time? Very well. In that case, let's hear from Mr. Tavier.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, is this mic working? Can you hear me okay? Right, we'll use the old school method. I'll draw you a diagram to make it clearer. It's a win-win situation. I'll summarize the first stage again. Our communication satellite, here in space, they send their rays to Earth, like this. Oh, my brain is in my hand. In the direction of the arrow, like this. What's happening to me? I'm gonna die? human being will die out. Once this phase is complete, all that remains is for our underling on Earth to put the control antenna in place and broadcast our mantra throughout the whole world, transforming humans into Wong slaves. And there you go. They bring back uranium more completely than the North Korean labor. That's a country which is known for...
Thank you for your explanation, Mr. Tavier. I'm speechless. However, one thing is bugging me. Have you no qualms about invading your own planet and killing off humanity?
Not at all. It's all that this species deserves.
Very well. Something else concerns me. Is Satan, that incontrollable ex-soldier, the right person to lead this mission? Do you need to be reminded of the carnage he caused on Andor?
Quite the reverse. Colonel Satan owes us revenge. He knows that failure is no longer an option. And anyway, his golden parachute is even more adorable than Superman's.
Perfect, we're in agreement. Secretary, contact the Colonel on 666666 and send the image.
Hello? Colonel Satan speaking.
Chapter 7, The Legacy.
There's a dog following Mr. Hermit with Karen's leg, I think. Ah, beat it, you filthy mutt! This cave is even weirder than the first time. Here, where all this madness began, where my life was turned upside down. Why? Why me?
Now hold on a minute, Phil, while I reach the switch. And hey, presto! Then there was light. Welcome to my home.
You owe us an explanation. I don't think you're really a dermatologist. You're just in it for the money or something like that. And why were you following us at Letitia's place?
Well, by golly, you're right. I'm not a hermit, Phil. I'm Jesus. Jesus Mike. And you, Phil, you are my son. Come here, son. Come into my arms and let me tell you my story. Make yourself comfy and snack on some cheeses. I'm sure you'll find them tasty. My name is Jesus Mike Jr. I'm the son of one of the lead dancers at the Red Cirque du Soleil and a galactic interfederal agent. Born and raised on planet Red Cross. From a very early age, I showed signs of an undeniable talent for the laser pistol, and I rapidly became the youngest and most formidable bounty hunter in the universe. I would take out my holy gun and arrest the deadliest criminals and murderers of the galaxy, mercilessly handling them over to the cosmic government in exchange for a handful of Proctos. To perfect my skills and to make a name for myself, I went to Cash Converters and bought a Wibrexon, a superb cross which gave me my own unique style. But also this strange book. As I leafed through it, I became quickly aware of the secret of its contents. The board of directors of a cosmic multinational corporation established on Plutonus 91 had hatched a secret plot to invade planet Earth. Under the supervision of Colonel Satan, the formidable warlord, concealed in a cosmic egg, the plan was to subject human beings to horrific mutations in order to control their minds. Satan, one of the most wanted criminals of the recognized worlds. A 25 million Proctos bounty on his head. 25 million Proctos, the highest reward. You may well be in the guise of a dastardly earthly king, but Satan, I know where you are, and I'm coming for you, devil. Dazzled by the reward, I jumped in feet first without checking the transdimensional weather forecast, and I ended up being blown around by a climato-temporal storm, which propelled me back to Earth 2,000 years too early. Satan, one of the most wanted criminals of the recognized worlds. A 25 million Proctos bounty on his head, the highest reward. You may well be in the guise of a dastardly earthly king, but Satan, I know where you are, and I'm coming for you, devil. I hardly had any time to think how to occupy myself whilst waiting for Satan, when a group of radicals preyed on me and nailed me to the cross. Fucking local traditions. I might as well have led them to believe I was dead. It was no use. A cult crowded around me. Those idiots holding crucifixes, ready to do anything for a guy who turns water into plonk. A fine selection of degenerates seeking the supreme earthling. The only solution was to take a bow and say goodbye, straight to Psychoville in the comfort of my cave. A peaceful place, mind you, of course. But there was fuck all to do other than practice shooting and booze it up with the water turned to wine in the nearby stream. I scrounged a few local dollars from the rednecks, pretending to be their Yankee Jesus. I blessed their weapons and I blessed their ammunitions. They got a real kick out of that after all. I love guns too, so it was fun. And I love causing mayhem. I collected small animals from the woods like they were my real friends. Despite the fabulous home cinema I bought myself, time just seemed to drag. So I scrolled Tinder, hoping to find a match, and I met her. She was a barmaid, and absolutely stunning. There was immediate chemistry between us, and the fruit of this love, of this shared tenderness, was you, my son, Phil.
Chapter 8, The Mutation. In this chapter, the humans of planet Earth transform into head hands, mutants whose heads become their hands. What does that look like? I'll leave you to ponder and develop your sense of imagination.
Chapter 9, Hell on Earth.
The mutation begins. These waves will destroy my fellow humans and wipe your vacuity off the face of the earth. I have no regrets. Your suffering is my salvation. The money from the company offers me a new start. As for you, soon you will be headhands. They have often spoken about me, Satan, in TV and movies, and gone as far as making man have doubts about my existence. A fictional character. Even this unmuted newsreader has no idea of who I am and the power I have. Yet, like many, she has seen the exorcist. For the moment, this human body still conceals my identity, a fictional character. So, you losers, the revelation is to be broadcast live. Here I am, live on Earth.
Technology is propelling me into each household. Let's do this. My dear fellow citizens, don't be afraid. Some of you have not yet mutated into these strange head hands. Do not resist. Your happiness depends on it. This is your chance of a new existence. Your rebirth will be tremendous. You'll be awash with serenity. Let me show you the one and only path for which you were created. There is only one way. Look into my eyes. Let yourself go. I am your guide. I am not your king. I'm your master. Your guide to ecstasy. I am the Antichrist. I am Colonel Satan. Put your trust, your calm, relaxed. Your hand is heavy, very heavy. Listen to these gentle waves. Follow my voice. Your body is filling up with a soothing warmth. You are ready to fulfill your destiny, your mission. Your pathetic human life will finally have some meaning. Follow my voice. Follow the path. You're no longer afraid of death. There is no more pain. All you have is your destiny. So stand up and head to the uranium mines. Stand up. You too, all of you. You have only one goal. Uranium is everything. The air that you breathe, the water you drink, the food that you eat, your soul. Uranium is good. So go. Work in the mines. Never stop collecting. You don't need tools to show your devotion. Just bury your hands in vital substance. Uranium is good. Uranium is everything.
Chapter 10, The End.
And here's my baby, the flying JC-3000. A 22000 neutron engine, a digital dashboard, Kevlar-infused landing gear shock absorbers, and ion saturate rear propellers. I've been pimping it up since I arrived on Earth for the great day. Now, if you want to be my co-pilot, son, you must wear these driving goggles. Only the light of love grants you this honor, Phil, so put them on.
Wow, they're so swanky, Father.
And now, this Ultranova 2000 neuronal helmet will give you a direct connection to the machine. You will be as one. Off we go. Mind your ass, Satan. Dead or alive, the cash is ours. So, is Leticia launching this flying saucer or not? Can you feel that, Phil? Those hateful vibrations? That motherfucker, Those hateful vibrations? Well, that motherfucker, he is in the TV tower. He's trying to hypnotize human beings through his goddamn speech. Always using the same moronic methods. Phil, drop us off at the back of the building.
Hey, this is awesome. Look how well I operated, Father.
That's good, son. Very good. Let's put on our infrared suits and get our weapons from the trunk. We're gonna take him out. Riot gun?
Check.
Biblical flamethrower, the holy rockets, grenades?
Check.
You can hear his preachy rambling to the humans. You can see him. I'll go there, son. And when I give you the signal, let him have it. I'm heading up to the 8th floor. Smash in his fallen angel face. By the body of the Holy Spirit, Satan, I'm here for your body burning in the flames. And just to be sure, here's another flame, you scoundrel. My hands are sinking into your smoking carcass to rip out your heart, even if it's just an evil cosmic egg that burns my fingers and is on the verge of becoming an omelet. I'm out of here with this ovoid. Phil, launch all the grenades you have left. Look what I have in my hand, son. It's an egg. Satan is a fucking egg. Evil everywhere, even where you don't expect it. The million Proctos are mine. I'm mapping out my route straight to space. Tinkerbell, do you fancy a stroll? Phil, take this pendant off Satan's hand. I've seen the future and I've seen your mission. Stay here on Earth and guide the people. Well, those who remain at last, these head hands will be ready to build a just and peaceful, gluten-free world. You will be their guide, my son, their messiah. The oracle has told me you are love, love itself.
Humans are crying out their devotion to their new master. We love you, Phil the Messiah. Jesus bids them goodbye. So long, headhands. I'll be back with news from the cosmos. Meanwhile, somewhere in the cosmos.
Fuck! I need to get off Plutonus 91 as soon as possible. I don't want to end up in jail for handling stolen goods. What a bummer, we were so close.
Head Hand by Benjamin Scuse and Raphael Dethier, adapted from French into English by Claire Wilcock, God bless her, as well as Sabam for Culture for their support of podcast writing.